What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, we are going to be projecting the Detroit Lions, and this is one of those teams that they've been so consistent, and they have the same coaches, pretty much the exact same players, that this is a really nice, confident, easy projection for me to pump out. This one, unlike most that take me about 3 hours, give or take, this one was more of about 2 hours, hour and a half, and that's just because, you know, other than some trends with injuries and stuff like that, it's not too hard to break down. You know, we're looking into the Lions, and I'm trying to see what did Jahmyr Gibbs do in the latter half of the season, because he was a rookie, right? How was he in the first half versus the second half? How was he when David Montgomery was injured versus healthy? I do the same thing for David Montgomery. He's a little bit older. He's taking a lot of volume in the league. How was he in the beginning, and how was he in the end? How was he when Jahmyr Gibbs was healthy versus injured? Kind of that same type of thing for each player for the Lions. Same thing for Laporta. Laporta was a rookie. Did he get more involved? Stuff like that. And it leads to me just having a very confident projection. So when we're looking at the Lions, the first thing that you always want to look at is coaching. And when it comes to coaching, the Lions kept everybody in tow. So that makes it really easy. Offensive line, they lost a guard and they added a guard. Lost Jonah Jackson, added Kevin Zeitler. So honestly, offensive line, not too much to worry about there. Skill positions have no change. I mean, you can see this is exactly what leads to a very easy projection. The biggest thing for the Lions, the thing that changed the most, is the defense, which does have some impact, which we'll get into. They added cornerback Carlton Davis from my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's better than a lot of people give him credit for. When he's locked in and he's fully healthy, he's one of those really good outside corners that's big and strong that can play up against a Davante Adams, can shut down a Michael Thomas, can play against these bigger guys. His weakness is speed, but that's all right. They don't have to be completely, you know, a corner doesn't have to be able to play every type of wide receiver. That's why you've got multiple corners for it. You guys can hear my work phone ringing in the background. Hopefully that stops soon. When it comes to the rest of the defense, right, they added defensive end Marcus Davenport. That's going to give them some depth. They added defensive tackle DJ Reader for $28 million over 2 years. That's going to help with run stopping. They drafted cornerback Terrion Arnold in the first round, one of the elite three as many viewed it, and they drafted another cornerback in the second round in Ennis Rakestraw. So that defense is going to take a nice step or two forward. When we're looking at the history, like I said, they are extremely consistent. 2023, the Lions had 1,106 plays. They passed the ball 55% of the time, and they had 57 touchdowns. Just for reference, for those that are new, 1,106 offensive plays, way above the normal. The average in the league was 1,028, so that's a huge, huge difference. The average pass rate in the league is 55%. They were right there. And the average touchdowns in the league was 38. They had 57, so they just were clicking on all cylinders. Firing on all cylinders, I should say, in the league last year. And the year before that, they were too. They had 1,068 plays, still well above average. 55% of the time, they passed the ball again. And they had 52 touchdowns. There's no coaching changes. They have great consistency. This makes it an easy projection. They still have no relevant wide receiver too. If you're looking at Jameson Williams and you're hoping to hear some good stuff about him here, I'm not the guy for it. Jameson Williams had 9% of the targets in his healthy games last year, a first-round wide receiver, 9% of the targets in his healthy games. There are no new pieces on this offense. The defense is going to step up this year in a big way with the three additions that are good at cornerback and a D-line with some better depth and run stopping. Going over some of the biggest highlights, Ben Johnson, he's their offensive coordinator. He returned, which saves them from regression. He was somebody I was really worried about. If he got a head coaching job somewhere else, I would look at this Detroit Lions offense and say, hey, guys, they're going to come down a little bit. And that's what I'm going to be expecting after this year, because I'm sure Ben Johnson is going to, you know, become a head coach somewhere else. Unless for some reason he just doesn't want to, which I doubt. I mean, he did take some interviews last year. So Ben Johnson, he's returning, and I think that's going to make them a Super Bowl contender. They should remain in a high play count range with the defense improving as well and have similar touchdowns to last year. We don't need to overthink this one, right? This team has been massively consistent, and the only thing that would change that this year is injury. If it changes, not because of injury, if it goes somewhere and it's not as consistent, right? If something weird happens and some outlier hits, it's going to be in the positive way, not the negative. It would be them having even more plays and more touchdowns because the defense got better. And maybe Jameson Williams actually decides to make a difference. So what is my projection for 2024 for the Lions? It's 1,120 plays, still passing the ball 55% of the time, and one touchdown more than last year at 58. When we're looking at Jared Goff, he's got 616 passes to work with. He's madly consistent in all pass categories that should hold. Over the last 2 years, I'm going to give him the same efficiency he's had. 5% touchdown rate, same yards per attempt, completion rate, yards per completion. All that stuff is just right there. I'm going to keep that going. He doesn't run the ball much. He's got 45 rushing yards. And when I'm looking at Jared Goff, like I said, this is going to be a quick one, guys, because there's not too much to be changed. You guys know he's good at home. You know he's good in stadiums. That's when you really want to fire him up in fantasy. That continues to be a trend. And over the course of the season, he's going to have 18.6 points per game per my projection. That's just a small tick above Geno Smith. They are basically the same. Between the two of them, I would probably, if they're more than a round apart in ADP, I'm going to take whichever one is going later as my top end QB2 or a back end QB1. These are the perfect type of guys. Geno Smith, Jared Goff for super flex leagues. It's the perfect quarterback two that you want. Or if you punt quarterback, then you can get two of these type of guys as your quarterbacks and you'll be fine. So Jared Goff, 18.6 points per game, just slightly above Geno. And I have him for 616 passes, 413 completions, 4,705 yards and 31 touchdowns. He was very good last year. If you look at his numbers, you might be surprised, and I don't see any reason for that to change. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's also been madly consistent. This is a well-run organization, a well-oiled offense that knows exactly what it's doing, gets the ball to its playmakers, and just keeps on going. He's been in the 27-28% target share. That is that number that you get for those elite wide receivers that have good weapons around them. If Amon-Ra St. Brown had bad weapons around him, he could be in the 29-30% target share range, but he does have good weapons. So there's no reason for him to change his target share, right? He gets a good percentage of the touchdowns on the offense. All this should continue. I'm going to give him 27.5% of the targets. The same efficiency on all levels, 9 touchdowns. He's going to get some carries too. Overall, I've got him for 5 carries for 50 rushing yards, 169 targets, 124 receptions, 1,546 yards, and 9 touchdowns. He is my most projected or highest projected wide receiver thus far. I think we are 9 or 10 teams deep right now. He's got 19.9 points per game. He is the highest so far above A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's about 18.5 for me. So you've got a nice little ranking here for Amon-Ra. He's probably going to be a top 5, top 6 wide receiver for a redraft for me when it's all said and done. Not worried about, you know, Laporta or Gibbs' role growing too much or Jameson Williams taking a step forward too much where it hurts him. He is an elite wide receiver or borderline elite at least. You have to give him that credit. And those kind of guys, their target shares don't really go down unless there's another absolutely elite person added. And when I say elite, I'm talking about, you know, 5 or 6, not, you know, 15 type of guys that would I would consider elite. So obviously he doesn't have that to deal with. Jameson Williams, he had, like I said, 9% of the targets when he was healthy last year. They did not draft a wide receiver in this loaded class. That does lead me to believe that they truly think Jameson Williams can take some step forward. Because it appears the team believes that, I'm going to follow that trend, follow the team belief, and I'm going to give him a larger target share, but I don't expect him to do anything crazy. I'm going to give him 13% of the targets. He's still going to be behind Laporta and Gibbs. He's not going to step past those guys in terms of usage. I think ultimately the way they are going to use Jameson Williams is the way I expect the Kansas City Chiefs to use Xavier Worthy. I think he's going to get a couple bubble screens and a bunch of deep balls. So I'm going to make his efficiency reflect that because we have yet to see Jameson Williams really take a lot in the NFL. So it's not something that we can look back on efficiency in the past and figure out what type of wide receiver he's going to be. So from all the years I've been doing projections and stuff like that, I have a pretty good understanding on what efficiency might look like for a wide receiver depending on how they are used. I'm going to apply that to Jameson Williams since we don't have much history to go off of. And I'm going to give him a few of the touchdowns. He's got 80 targets for me, 44 receptions, 683 yards, and 3 touchdowns, giving him 5 carries for 65 yards. That is going to be 8 points per game. That is a big, big no thank you. Sam Laporta, I'm not going to grab him anywhere. Talking about Jameson. Sam Laporta, he was a rookie phenom, mainly in the touchdown department. He also had a lot of targets. He was involved from week one right away. So there's not much room to project improvement in his target share. You look at rookie tight ends, guys that finish high as a rookie, sometimes, hey, they got better and better as the season progressed. And it makes you want to project them to be better over the course of the next season because they're going to start hot, which they didn't get as a rookie. That's not the case for Laporta. Laporta started the year 5 targets, 7 targets, 8 targets, 6 targets. He started involved heavily. And he wasn't more efficient down the road. He didn't get more touchdowns down the road. Everything he did was consistent throughout the season. And because of that, it's really kind of just looking at it and saying, all right, he's going to have the same type of share of the season. His efficiency is going to be about the same because he was already really efficient last year. And, you know, that's going to lead to an easy projection for him. He had 20% of the targets last year. I'm copying and pasting. 20% of the targets this year. Similar efficiency will come. 123 targets for him. 89 receptions, 931 yards, 8 touchdowns. That is 13.5 points per game. That is tied with Kyle Pitts. Well, well, well. That means, and I did not do this on purpose, he is behind for this year, in my projections, Dalton Kincaid. And honestly, you might think that's crazy, right? But don't forget, when you look at Laporta versus Kincaid, if you remove touchdowns, Kincaid was just as good and in some cases better. And when you're looking now at what we're projecting forward, right? We're not just taking the past, but we're projecting forward. When it comes to Pitts, Laporta, Trey McBride, who I've yet to project, we haven't gotten to the Cardinals yet, but I imagine it will be no different. And Kincaid, there's one thing that separates Kincaid against the others. Kincaid will be the number one target on his team. It's not going to be Keon Coleman, right? When you're looking at Laporta, he's never going to pass Amon-Ra St. Brown. When you look at Pitts, he's probably not going to pass Drake London. Trey McBride's probably not going to be above Marvin Harrison Jr. in targets. And that's what gives Kincaid the edge here because he's got an offense that throws just as many balls as these guys, if not more. He's got the best quarterback of the bunch, and his touchdowns were so low last year, he only had 2. They're going to come up, and that's going to give him the chance to really be that tight end one this year, depending on what happens with Kelce. So, you know, I tell you guys, I always go back and forth in Dynasty for Kincaid versus Laporta. Because I have Kincaid now officially projected for more points than Laporta, and this is me expecting the Bills to run the ball at a higher percentage than they have over the past few years, bringing down the overall pass volume, and Kincaid is still above Laporta for me, despite that projection, I'm moving him to tight end one, Kincaid, and Laporta is my tight end two. We don't want to just get caught up in the past. But it's very close. Kincaid has 13.9 points per game, Laporta 13.5 for me. Both are great options. And, you know, Laporta could still finish above him, of course, depending on how touchdowns land, but I think they're going to be a lot closer in touchdowns this year than they were last. Now let's talk about the running backs. This is probably the most interesting, the situation that you might look at and say, okay, we might see some change here. So let's talk about it. Jahmyr Gibbs, he had 13% of the targets. He had 45% of the running back carries, right? And he had a couple of games without David Montgomery. But after the bye week, if you look at Gibbs, he was getting a stronger workload in the carry department. And that wasn't just in games without Monty. That was just generally. Right, he had 42% of the team rushing touchdowns, which there is a lot of. This team is very consistent, over 20 rushing touchdowns the last 2 years. That's what you kind of see from the Saints offenses. That why do I always forget coaches' names once I turn the mic on? It's so frustrating. The Detroit Lions head coach, obviously he came from the offensive coaches in New Orleans, and they used to use the running backs a lot in the red zone and just have a very similar power rushing, not power, but very similar rushing attack to what they have now in Detroit. So Dan Campbell, there it is. Thank you. So Dan Campbell, you know, he was with New Orleans, right? And Kamara and Mark Ingram were together from Kamara's rookie season. That was when Campbell was there. And he's been using Gibbs similarly to Kamara, which is what I projected last year. And that's why I had a pretty solid projection in terms of accuracy on Gibbs, even though he was a rookie. Sometimes people, you know, struggle to understand exactly how a rookie's going to be used, but I followed the Kamara blueprint and it worked out perfectly. So looking at Gibbs now, it's going to continue. He's going to get a lot of touchdowns. He's going to get a lot of receptions. He's going to be used that way. However, when we're looking at the percentage of running back carries, like I said, he got better over the course of the season and got more involved. So I'm going to give him a little bit more of the carries in the running back room. Instead of the 45% he averaged last year, I'm giving him 47. And he had 13% of the targets last year. I'm giving him 14. He's going to have 86 targets, 65 receptions, 453 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. Interestingly enough, I have him and Bijan at the exact same reception total. And I have Gibbs for less work overall, but he is extremely efficient. 211 carries, 1,055 rushing yards, and 11 touchdowns. So that is just under 1,600 yards. It's 1,550 total yards on the season and 15 touchdowns. So he's almost getting you 100 yards and a touchdown per game, but he gets you a lot of receptions. So PPR, that makes him a monster. It's 18 points per game. He is tied at running back 2 right now. Obviously, there's a lot of guys to project still. Breece Hall might overtake him. Christian McCaffrey might overtake him, depending on my upcoming projections. But right now, he is at 18 points per game, tied exactly with Saquon Barkley. Now, if I'm on the clock and I have to choose between Saquon and Gibbs, I'm going to take Gibbs because he is younger and I'm less worried about his health and he's going to be more efficient. I have a lot less worries, and you can trust the offense is going to throw him the ball. You can trust that there's going to be a lot of touchdowns for the running backs. Saquon has a little bit more of a projection going on with how much he's going to be hurt by Jalen Hurts' rushing ability. Is he really still elite in terms of his efficiency, stuff like that, which you guys know I like Saquon. If you haven't heard my thoughts on Saquon and his role in the Eagles offense this year, go listen to the Eagles podcast. I already finished it and posted it a while ago. But that's what I have for Jahmyr Gibbs. David Montgomery, he had 5% of the targets last year. When Gibbs was healthy, basically was non-existent in the passing game. So I don't see any reason to make him make him relevant all of a sudden in the passing game. He had 59% of the running back carries last year. That was with a couple of games being missed by Jahmyr Gibbs boosting that number. Should balance it out a little bit. And the fact that Gibbs got more as the season progressed, I'm going to give David Montgomery 53% of the running back carries, still being the lead in the carry department for the running back room. I'm giving him 3% of the targets. David Montgomery is going to have 18 targets, 15 receptions, 103 receiving yards, 238 carries, 1,071 rushing yards, and 13 touchdowns. For me, overall, David Montgomery is going to have just about 1,200 yards total, a little bit below that, and 13 overall touchdowns. It's 12.4 points per game. That is above Javonte Williams, below Kenneth Walker. He's going to be a back-end running back too when it's all said and done for me in rankings. Maybe a very, very high-end RB3, depending on, you know, what happens with these running backs I have yet to project. Thank you guys for listening. This is the shortest one we will probably have because this is the team that has seen the least amount of change, has the most consistency over the past 2 years, and the most consistency in personnel changes in the offseason. So very easy team to project. You can be very confident in these projections. Unless injury plagues this team or something like that happens, these guys are all going to be really good, just like they were last year. These are the guys you can take high in drafts and not be worried about a bust factor that doesn't really exist here outside of injury. So thank you guys for listening to the Detroit Lions podcast. If you guys have questions, nobody's really had any questions for the Lions, but and I think it's kind of because of that consistency, but the next team I'm going to be doing is the Jaguars per the request in the Discord. So if you have any Jaguars questions you want me to touch on, I answer all the questions at the end after I go through the projections, and I'll be more than happy to do so for the Jaguars. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, peace.